This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Run Happy just keeps coming at him past the 16th pole. Run Happy, and boy, does this horse love to run. The aptly named Run Happy for Edgar Prado to take it.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adena Springs, Airdrie Stud, American Racehorse Magazine, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Tollgate Hay and Straw, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
But there's no catching Wedding Toast. Wedding Toast, much the best here, all the way in the Beldame.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, up at Aqueduct in the largest restaurant in New York City, the Equestris. High atop the finish line here at the Big A as the horses train on a bright and brisk Saturday morning. Down in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, it's the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. We're here for the vacationing Mike Penna. Jude, of course, is joined by our producer to the stars here at HRN, the one and only Lee Delapina. Thanks for tuning in on this Saturday morning, HRN Nation. Got a pretty fun show lined up for you as we approach Thanksgiving, one of my favorite days of the year. You get to sit down, play horses, watch football, and most importantly, eat a lot of food. Jude, happy Saturday morning, my friend.
Yeah, same to you. Nice to be here. Beautiful day in the bluegrass, and looking forward to the racing today.
Yeah, plenty of good racing today. Plenty of good racing coming up the next week or so. Still some grade one action to be run down at Churchill Downs and the Clark up here, the Naira Mile, and Cigar Mile, I should say. And we'll got some good racing today, too, down at Delta Downs. They have their Jackpot Festival, and we'll be joined today by Al Stahl, the trainer of Departing, who's one of the favorites in the Delta Mile, and Forevermo, who won the Jean Lafitte, the traditional prep locally down in the Bayou, for the Grade $3 million Delta Jackpot. Al Stahl will join us a little later on. Andrew Burns, the stakes coordinator at the New York Racing Association, he'll drop in for a few minutes to talk about Holiday Fest next weekend and how those stakes are shaping up for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Then in hour two, Eric Johnston from Penn National, the director of racing, will join us to talk about the Penn Winter Stakes. That is this Wednesday night. We have you covered right here, horseracingradio.net, 6 to 7:30. It'll be myself and the Uber Capper calling home all three of those stakes races, including, Jude and I were talking about this earlier, Ben's Cat, going for an unprecedented fourth consecutive victory in the Fabulous Strike. He may have even won it, and I want to ask Eric this later, he may have even won it before it was renamed the Fabulous Strike. Eric will join us, and then towards the end of the show, Tom Harris, who's in his first year as a track announcer out at Zia, Wednesday afternoon into evening, they will have their annual Land of Enchantment Day out at Zia Park in New Mexico. Tom will join us to go over some of those stakes races to return. We get a lot of calls about this on the call-in show. A few people have asked in the last month or so, where's International Star been? Louisiana Derby winner. Well, he'll be in at Zia Park on Wednesday, running in the Zia Park Derby. So pretty fun show lined up. You a big fan of that Delta Jackpot card down in the Bayou, Jude?
Yeah, I think it's a very solid card. I enjoyed handicapping it. Certainly the Delta Mile is a pretty strong field, and looking forward to that. I think Departing is probably going to go favored and has a good chance at the race. But there's some other contenders in there. And then the Delta Jackpot. I've always liked the Delta Jackpot. I mean, they put up $1 million down there and bring in the two-year-olds. And it used to be kind of a win and you're in for the Kentucky Derby. It's not that way anymore with the point system. But still, for $1 million, there's plenty of nice horses that line up. And looking forward to that race as well.
Yeah, we got Forever Mo, like I said, from the Al Stall Barn, is in there. Whitmore broke his maiden at First Asking for Ron Moquette. He's shipping down. He broke his maiden at Churchill. He's shipping down. One of his owners, Harry Rosenblum, actually bought into him about 8 or 9 days ago. He was Harry's Gentleman's Bet was elevated to the victory in the DeFrancis down at Laurel last Saturday. Harry bought into Whitmore. We actually had Harry on the Express Bet radio show earlier this week, and he talks a little bit about Whitmore. If you want to go give that a listen after the Equine Forum's over, that's up at horseracingradio.net. But yeah, fun card. That Delta Jackpot, like you said, and it's a fun race because you have the, you know, now I don't want to call it a bull ring, but it's not your traditional race course. It's limited to 10 starters, and you always have that mix of locals and, you know, shippers this year, namely the 2-1 morning line favorite is Exaggerator, who was beaten just 3 lengths in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Yeah, Exaggerator's going to get the bulk of the betting action. He got beat only 3 lengths by Nyquist in the Juvenile, and before that finished second to Brady's Cause, who was a kind of a buzz horse on Breeders' Cup Day. You know, he's a very solid horse. He's run 5 times, has 2 wins and a second in 5 starts. And so, you know, we're looking at probably a relatively short price on him. He opens at 2. He may actually go down from there. A lot of people are on him. But you mentioned Whitmore is an interesting horse. He's by Pleasantly Perfect out of a Scat Daddy mare. He's only had the 1 sprint, but he's bred to go long and obviously was visually impressive when he broke his maiden. But you've got Memories of Winter in there too, a horse that's 2 for 2 by Hard Spun. He's you know, pretty solid horse too, and got a good speed figure in his last race going a mile at Laurel. Sunny Ridge, Harlan Punch. I mean, there's plenty of contention in that race. It's going to be a good race.
And again, that Delta Jackpot highlights that big card down at Delta Downs tonight, which leads to the poll question. We just mentioned the Delta card, Land of Enchantment at Zia, Penn Winter Stakes, Penn National. Does it matter to you, HRN Nation, when you're going to the track, if it's one of these big day cards, or do you rather just go to the races on your average weekday or average weekend? What do you like better? Big race day cards, not Breeders' Cup, Triple Crown, anything like that, but these big stakes-laden cards or just a regular day at the track. That'll be the poll question for this morning. We'll kick off the Equine Forum with Al Stall when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Adina Springs added Macho Uno's best son, Mucho Macho Man, to their stallion roster for the 2015 breeding season. And with 95% of his mares getting in foal, he certainly took to his new job well. Mucho Macho Man earned $5.6 million on the track, culminating in his thrilling victory in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic over Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will Take Charge, a late drop. Oh, it's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
Few horses can be multiple graded placed at 2, run in all 3 legs of the Triple Crown, and then go on to become a Breeders' Cup Classic winner as an older horse. And all this from a foal born June 15th. Visit AdinaStallions.com to learn more about Mucho Macho Man and all the Adina Stallions.
Don't miss Penn National's Holiday Racing Festival on Wednesday night, November 25th, when the legendary millionaire Ben's Cat tries to win his fourth consecutive running of the six-furlong, $200,000 Fabulous Strike Stakes. But it won't be easy, as his talented competition will be led by Favorite Tail, fresh off a sharp third-place finish in the $1 million Breeders' Cup Sprint. Post time for the Penn National Holiday Racing Festival is 6 p.m.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Don't miss the Land of Enchantment Day at Zia Park in Hobbs, New Mexico, with over $1 million in purses. Watch and wager as three-year-old fillies meet in the $300,000 added Oaks at a mile and 1/16th, and the Zia Park Derby for three-year-olds worth over $200,000, plus the Grade 1 Zia Park Quarter Horse Championship at 440 yards. Join us Wednesday, November the 25th at New Mexico's Zia Park.
A multiple Eclipse champion with more than $6.1 million in earnings.
How about that? Gio Ponti will go back to the winner's circle today.
Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings were in high demand, while a colt by Gio Ponti topped the first session of the OBS Fall Mix Sale, selling to Conquest Stables after working 3/8 in 33 flat. All of this coming on the heels of his impressive maiden winner, Pirolone, at Belmont Park. Champion Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions.
Kale Density announces a revolutionary gastrointestinal guard and aid for all classes and all ages of horses. A natural registered animal feed product, it comes as a single dose disposable syringe or a handy top dress squeeze pouch. Field trials on Kale Density digestive aid have returned 100% favorable results as observed by their trainers and owners, and the cost is half of what horsemen are accustomed to paying. Kale Density digestive aid will be available in mid-November, or you can order online at caldensity.com.
Hey, this is Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Zenyatta now hooking to the grandstand side, and Zenyatta is now coming with a run, looking at Lucky Blame. Blame on the inside, Blame gets the lead. Zenyatta on the outside, looking at Lucky Blame.
If I didn't know any better, I'd have thought Zenyatta won that 2010 Breeders' Cup Classic, but it was in fact Blame. Gave Al Stahl a Breeders' Cup Classic victory. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the vacationing Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna, joined by Jude Feld, the Pontiff, and UHR Nation. Thanks for tuning in on this Saturday morning. Al Stahl has a couple in down in the Bayou today, departing in the Delta Mile, as well as Forevermo, who figures to go off one of the favorites in that $1 million Delta jackpot. And he's kind enough now to take some time out of a busy morning to join us here on the Equine Forum. Al, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Thanks for having me, Anthony.
Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld here with you this morning. Departing has sort of had an interesting year, especially after somewhat reinventing himself as a turf horse. Now you go back to what's long been his established surface, the main track down at Delta for the Delta Mile.
Yeah, no, we had trouble figuring out what exactly he wanted to do. We didn't think he had a good four-year-old year. We gave him a chance. We gave him some time off after his three-year-old year, and he just didn't kind of go forward, and he didn't handle the step up, so we were a little bit disappointed. I mean, he paid his way, but Then we gave him time off again and came back as a five-year-old. And obviously, it was time to go to the turf because of being by Warfront. And he did okay on the turf in his first prep, and then he won the grade two. But those races didn't grade out well at all. He would have been a long shot going to Saratoga, and we said, well, you know, maybe he might sprint for us because he's hanging a little bit going long, and we tried that. That's why we tried the Vanderbilt, and that didn't work out. He was in a one hole and kind of ran off, and then we went to Kentucky Downs and ran into Tourist, who ran a great race. And so I'm not sure if he lost his way, but we certainly lost our way. But so we just went back to something that we know he did well at, and was two turns on the dirt, and he fired in the Lucas Classic, and here we are at the Delta Mile.
Yeah, that was a good race, the Lucas Classic. He really hung in there pretty well, and he's for Gelding, you know, he's kind of inconsistent. I mean, he's top class sometimes, and you just don't know which horse is going to show up. Is that kind of how you feel about him?
Well, it just seems like you know, when we hit those grade ones, if you look back, like at the Foster and the Clark. Yeah, he did back off a little bit, but against the right kind, he's consistent. But you just put a line through the sprint, and you know, I think he's thereabouts. He'll, like today, he's training like his old self. He looks great. We're basically 100% confident that he's going to fire, and that's all you can ask. A lot of times, there's always been one horse to, you know, outrun him, like Geothermal did in the Lucas Classic this year, and it was called the Homecoming Classic last year, and that horse of the basketball players, I can't remember his name, he ended up running the Breeders' Cup Classic, won it. And so he just needs to find the right group, and he's going to try, and hopefully today's the day.
Yeah, it certainly looks like these are his friends. He's got what I would think would be a good post, huh? Are you happy with the rail?
Yeah, I think so. The inside of Delta, usually you kind of don't want it. But I've been down there for the jackpot day quite a bit, and I'm not saying they changed the track quite a bit for the big day, but it seems to be a little bit different, maybe because, you know, they run in the afternoon as opposed to night. I don't know, but it's kind of an even track all the way across, and a little bit faster than it is during a regular race night. So, yeah, I do like the one hole, and being a three-quarter-mile track, you just get a really long run in that first bank turn, and hopefully just comes out of there and finds a stride and falls into that turn, and just that should push where we need to be down the backside.
He should appreciate that cut back to a mile too, Al. No, he's a perfect 2 for 2 at the distance.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, he's just been a hard horse for some reason to get a line on exactly how far he wanted to run and what distance he wanted to run. But I guess I think the most important thing is like Jude said earlier, finding his friends. So that's where, from here on out, those are the spots we're going to hunt.
The other thing I like about him too is he's run well on the turf, and the turns are tight on the turf, and usually translates well to a smaller track. So I think he's got that in his favor as well.
Yeah, and he's a good shipper. He shipped from he was based in Saratoga when he shipped down to Mountaineer. And he was based in Churchill when he shipped up to Hawthorne, and for those derbies, and he ran great. So that we think that variable is on our side in the equation. So yeah, we're confident. He, like I said, he looks really good for an older horse. He's really filled in, and all this kind of spacing his races and taking our time with him seems to have helped him. So he gives every indication he's sitting on a good race.
Man, Tom Amos got the former Delta Jackpot winner rise up in there. He might be your stiffest competition today. You mentioned earlier that so a horse, often when Departing does get beat, they just run away from him. Looks like on paper that Rise Up would play that role as the front runner today.
Oh, there's no question about it. If he leaves the gate sharp, which he does about half the time, he'll make a lead, and hopefully we'll be in touch with him down the backside. And I imagine, yeah, my gut feeling is that his form will kind of brighten up getting back to Delta.
Well, that's race 5, the Delta Mile, and Departing, trained by Al Stahl, who joins us here this morning on the Equine Forum. Your 8-5 morning line favorite, Colby Hernandez, being the saddle. Like Al mentioned, they make their post times It's an afternoon card. So that race will go 3:13 Central, 4:13 on the East Coast. Race 7 is the big one. $1 million Grade 3 Delta Jackpot. Forever Mo, who you corrected me earlier this week when we were... as an Italian, Al, you have to realize that anytime I see a name with a vowel at the end, I turn it Italian. So to me, it's Forevermo. But it's Forever Mo. And he got the money last time in the traditional prep for this, the Jean Lafitte.
Right, right. He ran a good race. He's a big, beautiful, lengthy, stretchy colt. He's got a little sprinter on the female side, but sometimes that works out to be a really nice middle-distance horse on paper, pedigree-wise. And we just took our time all summer with him and gave him every chance and built a foundation underneath him and had an inkling that the Jean Lafitte would come up, you know, reasonably soft. And being a Florida bred, we decided we didn't want to run at Keeneland for less money without the KTDF money. And the only race he had been eligible for Keeneland was that experimental short stretch mile, which Jude, I'm sure, watched a few times. And I didn't want to wait around for that race and draw the 9 or 10 hole and be up against it and not run for all the money. And so we decided to take a shot at this race, and it really worked out for him. And he got bothered by a loose horse, really got bothered by a loose horse the first time around under the wire the first trip. And then he made the lead kind of comfortably and absolutely stopped, just put his ear straight up, and the lights and the wet racetrack and the grandstand and all combination of everything at the head of the stretch. And then Tom's horse came flying up on the outside and looked like he was going to just blow his doors off. And when he caught him in the corner of his eye, he just took off again and was drawn away and galloped out really strong, which I thought that was a sign of class on our part and kind of gives us confidence going into this race that we have a horse that the light's coming on as we speak.
Well, certainly being by Uncle Mo is a huge feather in his cap for a two-year-old. All the Uncle Mo's seem to be like him, just dominant against all the competition this year. It's really kind of crazy.
It is. I can't remember a freshman sire having such a tremendous year. I mean, not only is he the leading freshman sire, I think he's the leading two-year-old sire in the country, you know, going against the Tappets and the real heavy hitters. So, he's off to a start. That's hard to imagine. And fortunately, I got one of them. Selfishly, I wish I had about five of them. So, but anyway, this is what we got, and we really think we have a good one. And like I said, he's an A-plus physical with a lot of upside potential to him, with great size to him, and his time of his career is coming to him right now.
Well, if you win this race, maybe we can put the pressure on Coolmore to send you another one.
I hear you. I'll take whatever they have. It's unbelievable. He's got a wonderful temperament and all the good things you want in a racehorse. I imagine that's what most of them have, because he's just kind of does what we want him to do, and you barely know he's in the barn. He's very quiet and laid back about everything.
And he's really seemed to improve as the distances have gotten longer. I remember seeing him in his debut. There were two horses that stuck out in that maiden race to me. We were up in Saratoga doing our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast, and me and Mike Penner were messing around with a pick four. And I remember turning to him and saying, one of two horses is going to win this race on looks. Sheik of Sheiks or Forever Mo. He was that spectacular looking. And that's turning out to not be... that's a pretty good maiden race to come out of, that Forever Mo race when Sheik of Sheiks won. But he really looked the part. How has he matured in the last few months as those distances have progressed?
Oh, yeah. No, it's he's always done everything right, but he just does things more with more of a purpose. Same guy, the same young man gets on him every day, and he trained very well up to the Jean Lafitte. But after that race and two turns and a few things that went on that were different to him, he's really been kind of focused, and the difference has been palpable. There's no question about it. He's really put his head down. He's a little more chargy, and his two breezes have been outstanding. So I think the light is either coming on or on. So we're really looking forward to running him. There's been no extra pressure to get this horse to this race. Everything is fit into the schedule perfectly. Sometimes when these million-dollar races come up, the trainer's thinking can change a little bit, and I've been guilty of that in the past, but this horse, everything's gone just right, and we've been very comfortable with his schedule and how he's handled everything.
Well, his schedule's just been impeccable. I mean, this is a picture of an old school training job, and very impressive. 6 furlong race, nice easy start, comes back, run second, going 7/8, stretch out, win that one, and now you're looking at a $1 million pot. I mean, just a fabulous schedule, fabulous training job, and it's so old school. It gives me shivers. It reminds me of a Charlie Whittingham horse. You did a great job there, Al.
Well, we're just hoping things go our way. I mean, Evelyn is. We're all going together on a bus, and that's going to be an adventure in itself. going on the Benoit Express. We're all meeting at a Starbucks out in Western New Orleans, and we're going to jump on there. And there's no telling. There might be chandeliers, and there might be a band. There could be anything.
And I'm sure the alcohol will be involved.
win, lose, or draw, we're going to have a good time. I can tell you that right now. But and Evelyn's husband's name is Maurice, and all the kids call him Mo. So that's the play on words, and the reason is forever because we're from Louisiana. We don't say ours too much with a yad accent. So instead of forever Mo, it's like forever Mo. That's just how we talk down here. So there's a lot going on, and everybody's excited.
I'm from Queens, Al. We talk the same way here. We don't mess with the R's.
Exactly.
They're unnecessary.
It's not necessary. So so we're going to have a good time. Evelyn's got a very live two-year-old with Ron Fauché in the third race. Very impressive last time it ran. A Pioneer of the Manah, Louisiana bred of all things. So Evelyn knows how to stay with the right stallions, that's for sure. So everyone's got a lot in front of them, and hopefully the weather holds up down here. There's a little bit of chance of rain here and there, and which wouldn't bother us, but we're looking forward to today.
That would be Zuzor, by the way, and that's race 3 of the Louisiana Jewel, owned by Brentwood Stable and trained by Ronnie Fauché. Zuzor, number 7 in race 3. Al, thanks for taking some time. I know you got a busy day. Good luck down in the Bayou this evening. You've won plenty of races down at Delta Downs in the past. Why not a couple more?
I hear you. No, we're ready.
Al Stahl, trainer of Departing and Delta Jackpot contender Forevermo, joining us here this morning on the Equine Forum. Yeah, there's a lot of stakes down there on that card today, Jude, but that jackpot, a very interesting race, as it always is.
Yeah, no, it's a really good one, a nice handicapping puzzle. There's lots of ways to go. So the wise guy horse, Whitmore, everybody's talking about him by Pleasantly Perfect, and he figures to stretch out and run well, but there's plenty of contention in there. You could go a lot of different ways, and we'll see what happens. But just say Mo money.
Mo money, Mo. You know, if Biggie said Mo money, Mo problems, I'll take them at this point. Just give me the money. I'll take the problems as well. It's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, presented by the Lexus store of Lexington.
The story of this great thoroughbred might easily fit the needed scenario for a 5-star bit of Hollywood magic. All the necessary ingredients are indeed there. In the summer of 1940, because of protracted German bombing of the British Isles, the British Bloodstock Agency offered for sale 5 stallions to American interests. Mr. C.B. Whitney purchased one who had won the Epsom Derby in record time. The contemporaries of the time cast a rather jaundiced eye, so to speak, on the purchase, and that the horse was considered to be essentially a sprinter with little consequent, at least apparently, chance of upgrading American breeding strains. The fact is, the 7-year-old gray very nearly never made it to America at all. Now that in itself is a fascinating story which bears retelling. He was transported to America by ship, or at least was supposed to be, and accordingly installed in a crate and hoisted aboard a vessel which was part of a convoy headed across the Atlantic. Soon after sailing, the captain of the freighter discovered the horse's bill of lading, and, as this manifest forbade him from taking on livestock, the horse was returned to the dock. That, as it turned out, was a providential stroke of good fortune. You see, that particular vessel was torpedoed by a German U-boat and went to a watery grave at the bottom of the briny deep with nary a trace of a survivor. A subsequent freighter brought the equine specimen to American shores. At the New York dock assignated as the debarkation point, there was no horse unloading equipment, so it was decided to take him off the ship via a long and treacherously steep passenger gangplank. While he stood at the top, pensively surveying the scene and waited, filled with curiosity, steadfastly refusing debarkation. Straw was used to line the gangplank, and he was fed hay, all to no avail. Eventually, he was enticed down with sugar. Curiously enough, many of this stallion's get demonstrated that self-same temperament which was displayed at the New York dock in that year of 1940. When one of our subject stallion's daughter's first flight with a crafty veteran reinsman Hetty Eddie Arcaro in the irons came out onto the racetrack for the 1946 Futurity, she stopped for an extended time in front of the stands, not acting up, mind you, just looking up and down the track until her curiosity was fully satisfied. She then went calmly, quietly, and professionally to the starting gate and promptly galloped off to an impressive score over the very best colts the East could offer by way of opposition. In the breeding shed, this stud was awesome, and the reason was really quite simple. He had five characteristics that were of paramount importance in passing on to new foals: soundness, speed, confirmation, fertility, and something that cannot be seen or measured, his natural intelligence and temperament, which made his progeny very easy to handle. He was, in his prime in the breeding shed, the unequivocal, undisputedly foremost broodmare sire in the world. All told, he begat 68 stakes winners and was North America's leading sire in 1946, and he was a leading sire for 14 straight years. That marvelous gray stallion knew and appreciated human affection and yet did not exploit it. He was never too busy to stroll to his paddock fence for an endearing pat. He was kind, gentle, and uncomplicated. His nickname was Toby, but this great stallion, whose name is indelibly etched in the now yellowing pages of American racing history, was Mahmood.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
And love the way you are. Have run by.
Here's Arch, Arch, Arch.
Honeymoon handicap goes to Seren.
International Grade 1 sire Arch has sired over 17% stakes horses. He is the sire of champions in four countries, including Eclipse champion Blaine. And his daughters have already produced two Eclipse champions. Arch, championship sire at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
Carrot Conti, the favorite in front. The Spaniard News of Canarias is fighting back. Carrot Conti has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Carrot Conti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrot Conti with a rush on the outside goes Bantam. Late run from Adam Dahl. Carrot Conti, Adam Dahl.
Gainesway is home to North America's leading sire, Tappet, and is proud to announce the addition of multiple group and grade one winner, Carrot Conti. One of the leading juveniles in Europe, Cara Conti won the Group 1 Grand Criterium with a time form rating of 1:15, and at 3, he scored impressively in the Group 1 French 2000 Guineas and stormed home to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita. Cara Conti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Don't miss Penn National's Holiday Racing Festival on Wednesday night, November 25th, when the legendary millionaire Ben's Cat tries to win his fourth consecutive running of the six-furlong, $200,000 Fabulous Strike Stakes. But it won't be easy, as his talented competition will be led by Favorite Tail, fresh off a sharp third-place finish in the $1 million Breeders' Cup Sprint. Post time for the Penn National Holiday Racing Festival is 6 p.m.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce Summer Front for the 2016 breeding season.
Summer Front and Joe Bravo have won.
A multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by the Great War Front, Summer Front began his career as an undefeated multiple stakes winner at 2 before going on to win graded stakes at 3, 4, and 5. Boasting a top-class pedigree and the jaw-dropping looks that made him a $475,000 sales horse. The explosiveness, the looks, and the pedigree to be a truly important sire. Airdrie Stud's Summer Front. Think about it.
This is David Cohen, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
American Pharoah has opened up a two-length lead as they come to the top of the stretch. And Frosted has moved up into second, and they're into the stretch. And American Pharoah makes his run for glory as they come into the final furlong. Frosted is second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah's got a two-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown!
Larry Comas on the call of our first Triple Crown winner in 37 years, American Pharoah. Belmont Stakes victory, gate to wire fashion. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the vacationing Mike Penna, joined by the Pontiff, Jude Feld, in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. Hanging on the line right now is Andrew Burns, the stakes coordinator here at NYRA. Before we get to Andrew, I just need to tell you that as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires. Excuse me. Like The Factor, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee. Or Union Rags, a grade 1 winning 2-year-old and classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, visit lanesend.com. Nice enough to join us now, stakes coordinator here at the New York Racing Association. He's about 4 floors and 150 feet away from me right now. It's Andrew Burns. Andrew, thanks for joining us this morning on the Equine Forum.
Anthony, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Jude Feld down in Lexington joining us as well. Andrew, talking today, the theme of this show really are a bunch of big stakes programs, big stakes cards on a specific day. We have the Delta Jackpot and all the stakes down at Delta Downs tonight, Wednesday afternoon and evening, the Land of Enchantment at Zia, as well as the Penn Winter Stakes at Penn National. Really come around the last few years, especially at NYRA, these big days, none bigger perhaps than Belmont Stakes Day, 10 graded stakes, 8 or 9 grade 1s, of course anchored by the Belmont. You've been doing this for a long time at NYRA. Are these big days, do they make your job easier or more difficult?
They certainly don't make them any easier, Anthony, to be honest with you. It's, with these particular big days comes a lot of pressure, obviously, to have bigger and quality type fields. Okay. Management is looking to obviously get the bigger fields, obviously, which with a diminishing foal crop and a diminishing pool of quality horses and with the competition among the other racetracks for similar type horses, it's become very, 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 very hard. Okay. These days, okay, it's a chance to have like a mini Breeders' Cup type of a day. Okay. But it's also difficult because throwing a lot of money at these particular stake races doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get big and quality fields, especially in New York. Okay. People may be scared off because of that. And it becomes a lot of pressure on me to fill a lot of these particular races. It's nice, and I look forward to these big days, but it doesn't necessarily make my job a lot easier. No, not at all.
Well, I would imagine the logistics is probably even more of a nightmare than filling. I mean, when you hang up big money in grade ones and stuff, people want to run in those. But putting all those horses away that are coming from all over the country and sometimes all over the world has to be a logistical nightmare.
It can be at times, but we anticipate it, and we Martin Panza, myself, and Rick Wickman, we have a good working relationship together, and we try to save particular stall spaces for what we may need, and our horsemen in the barn area cooperate if we need to put a couple of horses away that's coming up early. So the benefit for us is when we're over at Belmont, we do have the Saratoga barn area open where a lot of our high-profile trainers have stables up there. So sometimes they can send horses up to Saratoga to accommodate some of our needs. So it's a good thing to have. But you're right. It can get kind of difficult at times putting horses away when they're coming in. Some of them like to ship in a couple of weeks in advance of these particular races, and that can become quite cumbersome at times, but we deal with it, and we get through it. I like to have those problems. Those are good problems to have, knowing that they're actually going to come and race. I'll take that.
Well, Drew, you got one more big weekend to card this year. You got plenty of your hands full all year, but Holiday Fest is upon us. Next Thursday, action kicks off with the fall highweight, and then we have another five or six graded stakes races through the weekend. We had Linda Rice on last week. She had mentioned that she was thinking about trying La Vedada against the boys one more time in the fall highweight. How's that race shaping up on Thursday, the traditional Thanksgiving feature?
Well, it's a little bit on the light side as far as numbers are concerned, Anthony. And Linda, as of today, is still looking to run La Vedada in the fall highweight. I think we're looking at maybe about a 5 or 6 horse field. I know that Mike Cushion is going to think about it with Captain Sirius, La Verdad, Pulling G's for John Sheriffs, and Salutos Amigos for David Jacobson. And David may run another one. It looks like maybe Favorite Tail could be his second horse of choice, but that's what the fall highwood is looking like right now. But again, we come across that same problem where too much competition. Okay, I mean Laurel just had the DeFrancis, you know what I mean? So that was a week ago, and some of the horses ran down there. So it's not easy to fill a $250,000 stake race. Okay, sprinting. So it's
Wouldn't it be
light in numbers?
Wouldn't it be nice if we had like one central racing office,
and
you wouldn't have to like fight with other tracks for horses? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. There's so many, tracks that, and it seems to me oftentimes they do it on purpose. They run against somebody else so that their program isn't very good, and it's really irritating to me as a former trainer. I just don't understand the mentality.
It is frustrating. It's frustrating because we actually try to set our program out early in the year, and obviously we have our traditional races that have to be on certain days. But other tracks are seasonal, okay, and they have to try to get their, you know, races in at a certain time too. And unfortunately, they coincide with ours. It's not easy. We would actually love to have cooperation, but you know, it's going to be hard to work out. And if there was a central, you know, like a legal office or something that dictate to us where we could run, it would be a lot easier. You know, but I don't know. We'll see if that day ever is upon us. You know.
Well, the highlight of Holiday Fest every year is that Cigar Mile, formerly the Naira Mile, now named for the Great Cigar. How's that shaping up this year? I know you guys put a smile on my face when it was announced that Christophe Clement was taking a real long look with one of my favorite horses, Tonalist, to try and grab another grade one here on the Naira circuit.
Sure. Well, Anthony, I think he's working here in the next, like, half hour. I think he'll make a decision after he comes out of that work. But besides him, I do think he's going to run Red Vine, okay? Private Zone, who is now in the care of Brian Lynch, is going to be working down in Florida here in the next hour. And again, he'll make the decision to come up after he watches the work. Chad Brown's going to run Matru. Okay, and I think Kieran's going to run one of his 3-year-olds, either Marking or Watershed. Okay, which is an interesting angle. Okay,
they're both very interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting horses, and it shows you the quality or the confidence he has in those two horses, because that's not really a Kieran McLaughlin move, you know what I mean? So they obviously have a little bit of talent. I think Marty Wilson is thinking about it with Falling Sky. Not a definite, but it's a possibility. So that's the field for the Cigar right now.
And
hopefully those horses work well and they come together in the Cigar. That will make the race. So.
The Rem, speaking of Kieran McLaughlin, Mohamed, who's been very impressive in both of his starts, including the Nashua here on opening day at the Big A. Kieran, very high on Mohamed. We actually had Kieran on the Express Pit Radio shows a couple of weeks ago, and he was very high on Mohamed. He surprised us by telling us he was thinking about running Marking or Watershed in the Cigar Mile, because like you said, that's not really a Kieran move. Talk a little bit about the Remsen and Mohamed. That seems like it's going to be a nice little bunch of 2-year-olds. I think Linda Rice mentioned Matt King Cole as well.
I happen to agree with that. I think besides, obviously, Doug O'Neill's horse, the Breeders' Cup winner, I think Mohamed has been one of the most impressive 2-year-olds that I've seen so far. And our Shug is looking to wheel back Sal Ahoy, who closed in the Nashua, and he looks like he'll relish the more ground that he's going to get. Chad's going to, I believe, run both of his. He's got flexibility and gift box, okay? Tim Ice is going to ship up Runaway King, who's actually been running in the grass. And Todd is going to run Donegal Moon. Well, that's the way the Remsen is going to shape up. But I happen to agree with you. I think Mohamed has been one of the more impressive 2-year-old colts we've seen so far.
Flexibility was second in the Nashua and gift box. He came out of that ultra-impressive Sheik of Sheiks maiden race up at Saratoga. We were just talking to Al Stahl about that. He broke his maiden right out after that for Chad. So, again, that Remsen is really shaping up nicely as well.
You got a good stakes today.
Yeah, the grass race. I'm pretty happy that that's staying on the grass. I got a little bit of scare a couple of days ago with the forecast and the rain, but it held up pretty well. And we're running on the grass today in that race. And it's the last turf race we have for the year, going a mile. So they can stay in and have at it. So yeah, it's a nice little race. Yeah.
Andrew, before I let you go, I'm going to ask you one thing. I'm not even going to get into details. Have you recovered yet?
No, absolutely not. No.
Okay.
it's still tough. It'll be tough for me until spring training. Okay.
Andrew, like myself, for those of you who don't know, is an absolute diehard Met fan. We have spent countless, and when I say countless, I mean it. Andrew could corroborate this. We have spent countless hours at his desks at Aqueduct in Belmont lamenting and very, very rarely celebrating the success of our beloved New York Mets. Yeah, Sean Morris was on Express Bet Radio with me yesterday, Andrew, and he was like, yeah, we got there. I was like, did you talk to Andrew about that? He's like, Andrew doesn't even want to talk about it yet.
Yeah, it still stings. Every time I see a baseball highlight, it stings. It's nice to get there, but you want to finish it off, and it hurts. It really does.
Well, yeah. I'll come down in a couple of weeks. We'll wrap up the year, and we'll move on to next season, I promise. Good.
Absolutely.
Andrew,
absolutely.
Thanks a lot for this morning. Okay. Great no job, problem. As always. You did a fantastic job this year. American Pharaoh took us on a magical mystery tour, and you guys down in the racing office, and you specifically as the stakes coordinator, really put on quite a show this season in New York. And as a racing fan, I want to thank you.
Thank you, Anthony. I appreciate that. Means a lot coming from you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Andrew. Andrew Burns, stakes coordinator here at the New York Racing Association. Let's take a break. When we come back, Jude and I will chew the fat a little bit over some of the stakes races coming up this weekend. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Introducing the spendthrift for 2016 Palace, the multiple grade one winning millionaire and fastest son of leading sire City Zip. Palace proved to be a leading sprinter in North America in 2014 and 2015, winning such New York staples as the grade one Forgo Stakes, grade one Vanderbilt Stakes, and grade two True North Stakes. Palace is set to retire at season's end to spendthrift. For more information on Palace, call us toll free at 888-816-8787. That's 888-816-8787.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
Jude Feld, the pontiff of the Pick 4. You hear him on HRRN Radio. Now get his personal selections directly from him at his new site, PopeJude.com. Every analysis sheet at PopeJude.com has his personal selections and insights. Each page is a handicapping lesson packed with years of racing knowledge, coupled with insider information gleaned from the pontiff's countless connections in thoroughbred racing. Whether you're looking for another set of eyes on the past performances or inspired racing analysis to assault the windows, PopeJude.com is the site for you.
This year, there is no doubt that thoroughbred racing fans around the globe are thankful for American Pharoah. So the Horse Racing Radio Network has put together an outstanding four-hour program airing 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Thanksgiving Day. The show features American Pharoah's Kentucky Derby and Preakness victories, his magnificent Triple Crown run in the Belmont Stakes, and his powerful performance to win the Grand Slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic at Keeneland. Whether you're driving out to grandma's, totally bored by your relatives, irritated by your in-laws, heading home after a big meal while needing to stay awake, or just a Pharaoh fanatic, you can relive every moment in American Pharaoh's run to history on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Tune in to Sirius 220 or XM 206, or just hit the Listen Live button at horseracingradio.net on your phone, tablet, or computer. American Pharaoh's Run to Glory Thanksgiving Day, only on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Happy Thanksgiving, HRRN Nation.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Tight end touchdown beginning to weaken toward the rail, and Ben's Cat's going to have to go five wide here. He's got two to make up. Trying to move up then, Trickmeister, Barracuda Wayne still at the back. Burn Identity as they race to the eighth pole. Wide open here, the Fabulous Strike to the outside. Ben's Cat has taken the lead. Strappy Groom back to second. Inside, River Rocks is next. Barracuda Wayne from dead last is coming on. But Ben's Cat, he's 8 years old. He's winning this race by a huge margin. Ben's Cat, what an outstanding performance here. It's going to be tight for second. May have been Burn Identity, Barracuda Wayne in the picture as well.
Ben's Cat will go for his fourth consecutive victory in the Fabulous Strike this Wednesday night at Penn National as part of their Penn Winter Stakes program on Thanksgiving Eve. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the vacationing Mike Penna, joined as always by Pontiff Jude Feld. Jude, before we talk more racing, I have to ask you about the American Pharoah ad. Of course, Thursday is American Pharoah Day here on, well, it's pretty much American Pharoah Day here on HRRN. No live programming. It's Thanksgiving, of course. So 3 to 7, Sirius 220, XM 206, horseracingradio.net. You'll hear an hour of the Kentucky Derby coverage, an hour of the Preakness coverage, an hour of the Belmont coverage, and an hour of the Breeders' Cup Classic coverage. I picture you doing that commercial in a smoking jacket with a sifter of brandy in front of a fire. True or false?
Well, as beautiful as that picture would be, and very apropos for me, no, I actually did it in the confines of our Lexington, Kentucky studios. I wrote it at home, having a rum and ginger beer, and and then came in and recorded it with Lee the next day. But it was a lot of fun. I think it's such a great idea. And hats off to our producer Lee Delapina for putting that together, but it's a really interesting thing to do, and it was a nice way to have our HRN listeners enjoy maybe a long drive, like I mentioned in there, or after a while.
I love some of the barbs. It's a phenomenal ad. It's great copy. It's just really, and when it all comes together, Lee does it. I always toot Lee's horn because Lee won't toot his own horn, and I think it bothers him sometimes, but Lee's really amazing. And when I call him the producer to the stars, we are stars, don't get me wrong, but he
if you do say so yourself.
If I do say so myself, we are stars, but Lee does a great job and puts up with all of our little quirks and nuances throughout the year. But yeah, and it's just a great ad, but I gotta tell you, it's a little the stings, there's a little hair out of the balloon now. Now that I know you weren't wearing a Hugh Hefner-like jacket,
yeah,
during the recording.
It's funny that you bring that up because I get this thing in my inbox, Inside Hook, it's called, and there was actually an article in there about smoking jackets the other day, and smoking jackets. There was also an article in I think it's Cigar Aficionado. This month's Cigar Aficionado magazine about smoking jackets and how they were really in vogue, and I remember when I was a kid you'd see guys on TV like Jack Benny who had a smoking jacket. I always thought it was a little weird. It was like a tuxedo coat that looked like a robe, but they can be very, very beautiful, and I guess they're coming back in style somewhat. Although I would think your friends might think you're a little pretentious if you answered the door in your smoking jacket. But
yeah, if I ever wore a smoking jacket to some of the places I smoke cigars, they may tar and feather me.
So. Yeah, well, with your voice problems, you probably should lay off the cigars for a while. Huh?
I have been. I actually got clearance to have like one a week, and it was like the greatest thing I had ever heard. But yeah, that certainly does not warrant the smoking jacket, that's for sure. Well, we had a fun hour one. You could tell Andrew Byrne's still smarting over that beating the Kansas City Royals gave our beloved New York Mets. I literally Jude have not gone down to his office to talk to him yet because I know he's not ready.
Yeah. Well, he was kind of giggly this morning, so maybe he's getting close. You know, it's always tough. You root for a team all year long, and of course, you know, my wife growing up in Chicago and the Cubs and all that. I mean, it was kind of tough for the Cubs fans as well, but you know, it was.
She still hasn't spoken to me.
Well, you know, you got to get to the point where the Cubs were like a total surprise this year. They weren't supposed to be that good, and it turns out that they are very, very good, and they have a bright future. But you know, I think you have to realize that they went from like 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. So, you know, the fact that they didn't win the World Series, it didn't really come as a shock to me because there was talk that they were at least a year or two away from their best baseball, and yet they won the one game playoff. They killed the Cardinals the next time out, and they just, you know, they came to the end of the line. And I think a lot of it had to do with inexperience and the pitching that wasn't super, super strong for the Cubs. So I don't know. It's one of those things where, you know, you root all year long and then you get the rug pulled out from under you. And the Mets have just been so good because I watched the last 2 years. I've been watching the Mets because I was a New Jersey local, and I watched the Mets all the time. And on my fantasy team, I had pretty much the entire Mets pitching staff. You know, all the starting pitchers. I mean, those guys are freaks, and they're going to be good for a long time. So, you know, I think you're going to see the Mets and the Cubs a lot more than you have in the recent past. So, hats off to both teams, really.
Yeah, it was a fun fall while it lasted. We had a fun first hour of this Equine Forum. We got a pretty fun second hour coming your way too, and we'll be back with hour number two, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
The 37-year wait is over! American Pharoah is finally the one! American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown!
Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by six. Rachel Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Stop Charging Maria, short lead. Stellar Wind is fighting on. Stop Charging Maria just keeps battling back. Stop Charging Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Now here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the vacationing Mike Penna, joined by the Pontiff, Jude Feld. He's down in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. I'm up here at the Big Apple in Aqueduct, and he is joined by our producer to the stars, the one and only Lee Delapina. Thanks for tuning in this morning, HRN Nation. A beautiful Saturday around the country. Really nice up here in New York. It's nice down in Lexington. And it's nice out in Grantville, Pennsylvania, where Wednesday night they will run their Penn Winter Stakes. Three stakes in all, including the fabulous strike where Ben's Cat, we heard the rejoin, will be looking for his fourth consecutive win. Excuse me. In that fabulous strike. Makes it more amazing is the fact that 19 of his 30 career wins have come on the turf. So 4 of his 11 on the dirt, 3 of his 11 have come in this race. And we're joined now by the director of racing at Penn National, Eric Johnson. Eric, it's Jude Feld and the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Welcome to the Equine Forum. Thanks. Good morning.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you having me on this morning. Sounded a little rough there, Anthony.
Yeah, I've been fighting. I have a little vocal cord issue. It's acid reflux and vocal cord issue, and a little bit of everything. It wasn't.
I was going to invite you to sing the national anthem on Wednesday. I guess that's out of the question, huh?
No, you know what's funny? My dad opened the year at Presque Isle by singing the national anthem. If you want to give him a call, I'm sure he'll run on down and be more than happy to accommodate. But I'll take you up on it next year. Maybe we'll come cover the Penn Winter Stakes live, and I will. I actually sing at my friends' weddings. I had to take a pass last night. My buddy Ralph got married to Lauren, and I couldn't do my That's Life and my way. So I won't be doing it at their second wedding, I don't think.
Not a problem.
So, Ben's Cat, you guys have one of the neatest horses we've had around this sport ever, I would dare say. Just keeps on going at the ripe old age of 9 now. He probably won't go favored this year, but he's certainly the biggest storyline in that fabulous strike, the anchor of that Penn Winter State card.
Absolutely. He's been there since we really started this card and has won it for the last 2 years. We're certainly hoping that the weather holds out so we don't have a shortened card like we had 2 years ago. And if you remember last year, we ended up having to cancel the card and pushed it over to Saturday. So the weather is looking good. It's going to be a little bit chilly, but it's not. It's going to be above freezing, and we're looking for some sun on that Wednesday. So everything should be a great day of racing.
Well, it's just a beautiful place, Penn National. I made my first trip there during the summer for the Penn Mile, and I was just really, really impressed with the place. You know, such a beautiful venue, and you have the mountains in the background, and the place is so clean and so nice. I mean, it's just a pleasure to go racing there, and I had a great, great time. And I advise anybody that has an inkling to go to Penn National. It's going to be a fantastic card, and you're never going to see a prettier location for racing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I tell everybody it's like Santa Anita without the traffic and the smog. You know, you have the mountain in the background. Of course, you do have a few A-10 warthogs fly by from time to time and a couple of Chinook helicopters. But, you know, you get past that, and every now and then you may hear a howitzer fire. You know, we're really close to Fort Indian Town Gap, which is the Pennsylvania National Guard's major facility here in the state of Pennsylvania. So it makes for an interesting mix.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know you guys were that close to the National Guard.
Yeah, and we're actually, you know, as the crow flies, their main testing area is just about 500 yards north of the clubhouse turn. So it's quite interesting.
I'm usually predisposed with the with Hershey, Pennsylvania, which is just about 10 miles away. I'm usually stuck in a vat of chocolate over there.
You know, it's funny. You live here long enough and you get used to it, but when you drive through Hershey in the summertime when they had the old factory, all you could smell in the whole town was chocolate. So the locals kind of got a little bit tired of it, but you know, now it's everything's industrialized like every place else, and you know, that no longer have that fine aroma as you're driving through town.
That's blasphemy to be upset by the aroma of chocolate on a year-round basis. That's heaven. That's my heaven. When I go to heaven, it's just going to smell like chocolate all year round.
Well, we have our own aromas around here, you know, year-round racing here at Penn, so it's a constant flow of smell of money in the state of Larry, as we say, and, you know, we're looking forward to a great night on Wednesday. Well, I don't know why I keep saying Saturday. Maybe it's a Freudian thing. I don't know.
Well, you know, when you talk about the money there and you look at Ben's Cat's form and you think about Penn National in the old days when there was a lot of, like, $2,500 claiming races, and you see here's Ben's Cat's record at Penn National: 4 starts, 3 wins, and a third, $395,000 in purses. I mean, in the old days at Penn National, $395,000 in purses was like the entire purse account for the whole meet.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, it's a testament to what's been happening around here. The state of Pennsylvania realized they had to do something to bring the racing onto a level playing field with the surrounding areas back in 2002, and they passed the Slots Initiative. And Penn National Gaming as a company took the ball and just absolutely ran with it. They made a decision, instead of just throwing in a casino on the bottom floor of the grandstand or opening up the slots part on the bottom floor, they totally tore down the old grandstand, relocated the racing facilities into a temporary building, and built a brand new grandstand. And that's the monument that stands today. And it's just an incredible facility with over 2,400 slot machines. And then the beautiful view of the track, the dining room that seats over 500 people. So There's a lot of amenities for the family to come out and watch the races. And once you get done watching the races, you can slide into the casino and have a little fun in there, or go to one of the entertainment venues in the casino. It's just an all-around entertainment facility.
Yeah, and
I'm sorry, go ahead, Drew.
No, the dining room is massive, and the food is great, and terrific service. I mean, it's one of the most enjoyable racetrack experiences you could have.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We're very proud of everything we've accomplished here.
You know, back in 08, the only time I've been at Penn National was back in 08, and that was, you guys were on a little bit of a racing break at the time. I was right after the Kentucky Derby, and unfortunately I didn't get to see any live racing, but the casino had just really started coming around. The casino was a beautiful, you know, the racetrack's a beautiful facility. The food was tremendous, and, you know, it's a great place to visit if you're a racing fan, because there's so much to do. You know, we joke around about Hershey, but Hershey's right down the road for the entire family. And then you got plenty to do at Penn National now. So it's really, if you're a racing fan, it's a destination kind of place to go, because you can kill a lot of birds with one stone and just have, you know, multiple types of entertainment within 10 or 15 miles of each other.
Absolutely. You know, and there's a ton of history in this area, so it becomes a family destination, too. You have Gettysburg, you have Lancaster, you're not that far from Philadelphia, Baltimore, and New York. So it's centrally located between all the major metropolitan areas in this range. And just, you know, when you come out here in the beginning of June next year for the Penn Mile, which we're very excited about redoing again this year, you know, you bring the family out, you hang out in Hershey for a couple of days, come to the races at night, have a great time, and everybody's happy. They go home.
Getting back to this Wednesday night card for a minute, Eric, we mentioned Ben's Cat being the story, but maybe not the favorite. That role should go to Favorite Tale. It was a real bang-up third in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and you see now these races at Penn starting to attract these top-notch sprinters. Again, a horse like Favorite Tale, who was third in the Grade 1 Vanderbilt, won the Grade 2 Smile. We had that on the Horse Racing Radio Network down at Gulfstream this past summer. And then third last out in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. You guys have really done a good job out there at attracting some of these top-level contenders now.
Yeah, and I think what's happening is it's not just so much we're attracting them here, but they're coming to the region, and we're showing that the horses in the Mid-Atlantic region can compete anywhere in the world. You took Amelia's Wild Ride there that won the Pennsylvania's Governor's Cup on the turf back in June, and then turned around and won the race that came off the turf at Keeneland, the Grade 3 at Keeneland, and then comes back here again and is going to run on the dirt. So they're versatile, like Ben's Catch, so they can run on either surface. And it's just a testament to everything that's happening here between parks. And, of course, Maryland's always had a huge racing program down there. And you're seeing horses coming out of Charlestown. And, you know, obviously New York is always a big factor and all those players. But the Mid-Atlantic region has really gotten very strong over the last couple of years.
It'll be a field of nine, that fabulous strike. You even got a mare in there, Galliana, who's won 15 of her 29 career starts. She'll take on the boys in this fabulous strike. The race before the fabulous strike, you had a field of eight, including some real hard knockers in the Sotara, going a mile and a 16th for $100,000. Some real neat horses like Storm and Monarco, Paige McKinney. These horses dance almost every dance and always give their best efforts. Should be another fun addition of the Sotara this year.
Yeah, and the Pennsylvania Bridge, you know, we got a horse in there that just won by 18 lengths, trained by Paul Finiplius, and that horse has just turned out to be a monster, you know, in its debut. So we should be interesting to see if he can bounce back and win against the A-Breds here in the Stakes Company.
Yeah, that'll be race number two, the Blue Mountain Juvenile. And again, Blue Mountain Juvenile Filly, as you say, and again, you'll hear all of those races live right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, 6 to 7:30 on Wednesday evening. I almost said Saturday just now, Eric, by the way. So Wednesday evening, 6 to 7:30. Post time for the Blue Mountain Juvenile Filly set for 6:27. The Swatara at 6:54. And the big one, the Fabulous Strike, at 7:22. So three big stakes this Wednesday night. I ask you this almost all the time, Eric. Any thoughts of expanding the Penn Winter Stakes program?
You know, we're always conscious about what we're doing with the purse money and how the stakes schedule lines up. we would love to add some extra races to it, and we actually are in a position to possibly do that for next year. It's just a matter of settling some things with the Department of Agriculture this year. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen in the news some of the headlines that have been coming out of Pennsylvania. There's some budget issues that are trying to work through. So once we get through all that stuff and get a definitive idea where we're going to be in our purse accounts, there's a very good chance we could increase some of these races.
Well, you guys already do a fantastic job with the Penn Mile, which you have now slotted in for that last week of May, first week of June in the springtime. You have the Penn Winter Stakes, and you do a fantastic job with both cards. We are happy to be a part of both cards here, both cards here at the Horse Racing Radio Network, and we wish you success and luck this upcoming Wednesday evening.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I just want to remind everybody that the Fabulous Strike does anchor pick four there. The pick four starts with the first race at 6 o'clock, and then you have the three stakes that are really some great gambling events. So it should be a huge pick four. We don't do a guarantee on it. Everybody says, why don't you do a $200,000 guarantee? But on our 10-mile card for the last 3 years, oddly enough, each year we've done $199,000 on it. So if you're getting that close to $200,000, I don't think we need to worry about a pick or a guaranteed pick four. But it should be a nice payoff. It's going to be some great wagering. And then we finish up with the final six races. We're going to do a special 10-race card coming into the holiday weekend. So a lot of opportunities for everybody.
And that good pick deal. Four starts with a maiden special weight for two-year-old fillies going 6 furlongs. Again, post time for the first at Penn National on Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. And then the first stake, the Blue Mountain Juvenile Fillies, goes at 6:27. You can hear all the stakes action right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Eric, thanks for some time this morning. Best of luck Wednesday night.
All right. Appreciate it, gentlemen. We'll see you guys in May.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. See you soon. Eric Johnson, Director of Racing down at Penn National. Always a fun night, that Penn, those Penn Winter Stakes, Jude.
Yeah, it's a really nice little card, and interesting to pick four. I might have to dip my toe in the water there.
I think I hit it 2 years ago. I don't remember, because last year was the year that they had to cancel, they had to postpone the races because of some wild weather here going into Thanksgiving last year, and actually had to postpone the races until Saturday night. I think that's why Eric kept saying Saturday night, because it was Saturday night last year. But hopefully the weather will be nice and we'll get the card off without a hitch. It's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Claiming Crown attracts 309 nominations. The December 5th Claiming Crown, with total purses of $1.1 million for 9 races, has attracted 309 nominations and will highlight the opening day of Gulfstream Park's championship meet. It will mark the fourth consecutive year the Claiming Crown will be held at the South Florida racetrack. We're extremely pleased with the nominations and appreciate the participation from horsemen throughout the country, said P.J. Campo, Vice President of Racing for the Shronic Group and General Manager at Gulfstream. Owners Ken and Sarah Ramsey, who have won a record 14 Claiming Crown races, are represented by 12 nominees for this year's event, while trainer Mike Maker, the all-time leader with 14 victories, nominated 21 horses, including 8 owned by the Ramseys. And that wraps up this morning's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. For more racing and more industry news, visit BloodHorse.com. And Jude, if I'm not mistaken, you and the Baron will be down at Gulfstream for that Claiming Crown.
That's a broadcast that we look forward to every year. It's always so much fun, and you know, we traditionally have Mr. Ramsey on because he has a horse in every race. So it's great to get his insights. And he told us, he's phenomenal anyway. He's always a great guest to have on the show. But Claiming Crown is his thing. He plans for it all year long. You'll notice as you go through the PPs around the country, as we do preparing for the shows here, that he's been quite active at the claim box. And a lot of those claims are horses that he has picked out for the Claiming Crown. So it's he's a good guy to keep an eye on there, and you get all of his opinions about his horses the morning of the race on the Equine Forum show. So it's fun. We have a blast. It's also nice to be in Florida in December. So looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And I love the fact that the Claiming Crown gives those, you know, they're really the backbone of the game. I know here in New York, especially in the winter, you know, there's some lean months here in January and February and March and, you know, the last half of December. And the Claiming game is the backbone of a lot of racing programs, if not the sport. And it's nice to see those horses get their day in the sun and a nice little payday as well.
Yeah, no, the purses are always great. It's been a really nice program. It's something that I've enjoyed ever since its inception. It used to be up at Canterbury Park back in the day, and Nat West was the publicist for it, a good friend of mine who used to work at Hollywood Park. And, you know, it's just developed and gotten better and better over the years, but I think it's really hit its best stride since Mr. Stronach tried to take it on in Florida, and it's... you know, it's really a great day of racing. They get a very nice crowd. Everybody's looking forward to it. And, of course, it's I believe it's opening weekend of, if not opening day of the Gulfstream meet. So it's just a great place to be and a lot of good racing. I mean, you see some very talented horses. You see a lot of horses in those races that are currently stakes horses, you know, that had been claimed and developed and moved up. So that's fun, too. And it's just great, and huge cards, big fields in every race, excellent gambling cards. If you can get one of Mr. Ramsey's horse beat, the paydays are usually pretty good. So it's a great day. I love it. It's one of my favorite stops on the tour, really.
Yeah, Laurel actually had a preview day this year, the Sunday after the Breeders' Cup. I guess that would be November 1st. They had a bit of a preview day, and yeah, it's a great card, and I'm sure it'll be another fantastic card, as it is every single year. Before we head to a break, I just want to let you guys know that as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires. Like The Factor, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee, or Union Rags, a grade one winning two-year-old and classic winning three-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and two-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, visit lanesend.com. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will have the Darley Performer of the Week, as well as Tom Harris, the track announcer, out at Zia, and they'll have their Land of Enchantment Day this Wednesday as well. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
And they're off to New York. The premier state-bred program in the United States. When you own a New York-bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York-breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York-breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York-breds, get with the program. The best program.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value, so generally it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at NicholsonInsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
Kitten's Joy.
Big Blue Kitten wins the United Nations for the second time in 3 years.
A champion sire.
And Stephanie's Kitten has won the Flower Bowl.
The number one turf sire in America.
Bobby's Kitten like a rocket out of nowhere.
Kitten's Joy, one of the premier stallions in North America, continues to produce young rising stars, including impressive debut winner Camelot Kitten, a full brother to Breeders' Cup winner Bobby's Kitten. Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm.
Don't miss Penn National's Holiday Racing Festival on Wednesday night, November 25th, when the legendary millionaire Ben's Cat tries to win his fourth consecutive running of the six-furlong $200,000 Fabulous Strike Stakes. But it won't be easy, as his talented competition will be led by Favorite Tail, fresh off a sharp third-place finish in the $1 million Breeders' Cup Sprint. Post time for the Penn National Holiday Racing Festival is 6 p.m.
Power. Caracol did a favorite in front. The Spaniard Nuzar Canarias is fighting back. Caracol has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Caracol winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caracol with a rush on the outside goes by him. Lead run from Odor. Caracol and Odor.
Gainsway is home to North America's leading sire, Tappet, and is proud to announce the addition of multiple group and grade one winner, Caracanti. One of the leading juveniles in Europe, Caracanti won the Group 1 Grand Criterium with a time form rating of 115, and at 3, he scored impressively in the Group 1 French 2000 Guineas and stormed home to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita. Caracanti, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
They're coming down to the final furlong. Discreet Cat on the outside, still a hand ride. Just a little nudge there from Garrett Gomez. They're in front by a half length. On the inside, Silver Train. On the outside, Badge of Silver Third. They're coming down to the finish. And Discreet Cat with another dazzling performance. Undefeated Discreet Cat. And he stopped the timer in 1:32.2.
Discreet Cat, right on a quick pace in the 2006 Grade 1 Cigar Mile, ran the distance in the stakes record time of 1:32.25. Our Darley Taking the Reins Performance of the Week. Looking for a solid stallion with an affordable stud fee that stands in Kentucky? Check out Discreet Cat. Winner of the Grade 1 Cigar Mile and the Grade 2 Jerome, Discreet Cat has sired 8 black type winners in 2015, including Dad's Caps, the repeat winner of the Grade 1 Carter Handicap. No stallion standing in the bluegrass for less than $20,000 has more. Go to DarleyAmerica.com and read all about Discreet Cat, our Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
What the World racing a closer fourth as they bend off the turn and head for home in the Chavez County. It's Bell of the Beach and Alfredo Juarez Jr. to lead them down the stretch with a final furlong to go. Laugh It Up is chasing on the outside. Late surge from What the World, but in deep stretch. Look at Bell of the Beach go. Bell of the Beach has opened up a commanding lead late, and Bell of the Beach cruising to victory in the Chavez County. What the World is second. Best African Rose takes third. Laugh It Up fourth.
Bell of the Beach taking the Chavez County last time out. She'll be one of the favorites in the Zia Park Distaff this Wednesday afternoon out in New Mexico. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the vacationing Mike Penna, joined by the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, and you, HRRN Nation. Thanks for tuning in on this spectacular Saturday morning. Nice enough to join us now is the racetrack announcer down at Zia Park. Tom Harris, it is his first season down at Zia, and he'll call his first set of Land of Enchantment Stakes this Wednesday. Tom, thanks for joining us this morning on the Equine Forum. It's Anthony Stabile and Jude Felt.
Oh, thank you, Anthony and Jude. I'm glad to be with you this morning.
I know it's a little early for you out. It's a little early for me, and it's 9:30. It's a little early for you out there in New Mexico at 7:30. So we really appreciate you taking some time this morning. When I gave you a call to set the interview up this week, I knew the voice right away, but couldn't place it. And you kindly explained that you were the runners away guy from Retama Park.
Yes, I was at Retama Park for 15 seasons, Anthony. I also do Sam Houston Race Park. This will be my sixth or seventh season there. I've been at this game a long time, roughly 30 years. Called a short stay at Garden State Park way back in the day, and been in the Pacific Northwest an awful lot. So I've been a lot of places.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about that earlier this week. Garden State was one of my favorite tracks. My dad always had a few horses in training, and basically wherever he can get stalls, Monmouth, Meadowlands, if they were open in the spring and summer, and then down the shore and down the in western Jersey, Garden State Park, one of the nicest racetracks and one of the nicest paddocks I had ever been to.
It was they had the Crystal Paddock, it was called. I believe it was the largest indoor paddock of its time, and the facility itself when it was constructed, Anthony, was the most expensive facility in the country. And then later on, of course, came the new Arlington Park. But at the time, Garden State Park at I believe it was roughly $185 million was the most fabulous of its day.
Spent a lot of nights driving the Jersey Turnpike with my old man down there, coming back home from running a five claimer in the last, and cooling him or her out at midnight. So, a lot of good memories of Garden State Park. You're out at Zia now, Tom, and this card on Wednesday, they always do a great job, but they really have some. You guys have really attracted some top-notch runners here. One of the more popular horses on our Brisnet.com call-in show on Thursday night is Everybody Wants to Know. For the last few months, and I've gotten plenty of calls on him, where is International Star? Where is International Star? I'm finally able to tell him he's going to be at Zia on Wednesday.
Yes, International Star has come west. So, it's really exciting, you know. And these races, Anthony, they came up very tough. These are very, very tough races. Bold Conquest is also, in that race. International Star, winner of his last three starts. He won the Louisiana Derby, the Risen Star, all three at the fairgrounds. And, here he is, Martin Garcia, to ride here for trainer Mike Maker. And it's going to be a really tough race. Mobile Bay is a horse that's looking pretty tough, too, winner of the Super Derby at Louisiana Downs. So this race really came out very tough, I think.
Yeah, and you can tell by the jocks coming to ride. I mean, Edgar Prado's riding Mobile Bay. You don't see the jocks making that trip west very often. Another horse in there that I've always thought had a lot of ability but never really put it together was Bold Conquest. He won a nice race at Keeneland October 23rd, and he's coming back in there, a son of Curlin. He might be part of the trifecta as well.
And we even have a representative from Gulfstream Park, a horse that is a stakes winner from Gulfstream. That's Fear the Cowboy with Pedro Cotto Jr. In a ride here. And so, it seems to be a very diversified group. We've got the Canadian Derby runner-up in the race from Northlands Park. I mean, they truly have come from all over.
Yeah, you got the local Where's the Moon, who will be making his first start for Joel Marr off the Henry Dominguez trainer change. We mentioned both Bold Conquest and International Star. Any locals down there that are going to try and wave that Zia Park banner for the hometown team, Tom?
Well, you've got a couple of horses that are going to be breaking from the outside post, and you know, interestingly enough, this is an interesting place. You have horses that do incredibly well at other places, and then they show up here and they find the going just a little bit more tough than maybe they expected. So some of these horses coming into these races today may have come from other venues. They've had a race under their belt here at Zia Park and maybe didn't win. But at least they do have that race over the track now. Some of the local horses here, we have some regional horses, horse like Streaks Bro, who's also in that same race with International Star, and Dewey ran a really nice allowance race. They both drew the outside post. There's some local threats here for sure, and we got a pretty good local race riding colony. Several of these guys at one time were on the West Coast riding out in California. We got Ken Tohill here. We got Glenn Murphy here. Alfredo Juarez Jr. is the leading rider here. Francisco Duran was recently up in the Pacific Northwest. And so, there's a pretty good colony of race riders and a good contingency of horses as well.
Is a race over the track a particularly strong handicapping factor, or do horses ever ship in and win?
Yes, horses do ship in and win. It's a very fair racing surface. I think what plays into it, honestly, more than anything, is how does the race unfold. They run 5.5 furlongs a minute, 3 and change. We've seen a few of those. We had a 108.4 for 6 furlongs earlier in the meet, a couple of 109s. It's a pretty fast going track, but you got to be a fast horse to go fast on it. but we do see speed can hold up real well, but it seems to be a very fair track because I've seen the closers consistently do well here also.
The Stakes action starts early on the card, race 3. You get to dust off those quarter horse calling chops, Tom.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the quarter horses because we really have a nice horse here coming in today. He's world champion JRC Collis First. And, I've done a lot of quarter horses over the years. I'm kind of a been out in the western United States for, most of my career. And, it's this horse, JRC Collis First, he's in today. I think I've probably announced at least half of his wins over in Texas, but he was named world champion this year by the American Quarter Horse Association, and his ownership, Dana and Brian Stroud, they've just done an incredible job with this horse, and he's fun to watch. So I encourage you, even if you're not a quarter horse fan, I think this is a race that you want to watch because he's a fun horse to watch. It's the fourth race. It's the Zia Park Quarter Horse Championship.
Yeah, right after that race, the Thoroughbred Stakes starts with the Eadie County in race 5. A lot of tough and interesting races. We heard Belle of the Beach. She'll be one of the favorites in the Zia Park Distaff. Talk to me a little bit about that race. You got Larry Jones bringing in 13 Arrows. She's coming off an impressive win at Keeneland. She's also won at Monmouth and Delaware in her career, Belmont Park as well. Talk to me a little bit about the Distaff.
And again, this is another race that came up pretty tough. There's another horse in there called Have You Gone Away that is now going after her third consecutive win. She comes in from Remington Park. She won the Flashy Lady Stakes. Granted, it wasn't a huge stakes. It was a $50,000 event, but she really looked good that day. Minute 9.2 was her time, and she was ridden out in that one. Jareth Loveberry, the regular jockey for her, will be in to ride for trainer Alan Milligan. And, the horses you mentioned, 13 Arrows, coming in from Keeneland. Swing at Dish is another Oklahoma arrival. African Rose is a local horse here that has done very well in New Mexico. Has had 2 starts at Zia, has not hit the winner's circle yet. but has really been knocking at the door for trainer Miguel Hernandez. Lasting Bubbles, I think a horse is going to get a lot of attention here, won the Valor Farms at Lone Star. You know, another stakes victory as well at Lone Star has been around. Belle of the Beach, as you mentioned, had that big win over the muddy track here in the Chavez County. But just to show that she can do it on the fast and clear, she won the race before that as well. And she'll have our leading rider here, Alfredo Juarez Jr.
And then in the Oaks, Tom, we have Calamity Kate, who's coming out of a ninth place finish in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, but she ran very well. Two starts back in a cotillion, beaten just two lengths by Ama Chatterbox.
Yes, and you, like you mentioned, you had Edgar Prado coming in to ride her. She was second in the cotillion at Parks. You know, just a really, really nice, solid stakes horse that's going to be in here. And, you know, and there's a few others in here as well that bring some pretty good credentials. You know, some of these horses have won strong allowance showings, and they'll be stepping up a notch here today. You have Never Ends on the outside, who comes to us from Del Mar and Santa Anita. She'll be looking for her third consecutive victory. She looks like a horse that's kind of climbing the ladder right now. Kentucky bred filly by Successful Appeal in for Jerry Hollendorfer. Martin Garcia is in to ride too. And so far, you know, Martin Garcia and Never Ends, they're undefeated together. He's been on her twice and he's won with her twice.
Well, Tom, you'll be calling your first set of Land of Enchantment Day stakes down at Zia on Wednesday. We wish you luck and another great card lined up at Zia Park this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for taking some time with us this morning, Tom.
Thank you, Anthony. Jude, it's a pleasure.
Have a great day.
All right. Zia Park track announcer Tom Harris here on the Equine Forum. Let's take one more break. When we come back, Jude and I will talk about some of the stakes this Saturday across the country. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Tollgate Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky is family owned and operated and offers top quality local and northern hay and straw. At Tollgate Hay Company, you'll find hay in both large and small squares with western hay available upon request. Are you in need of bagged shavings or the best in McCauley's feed? Tollgate Hay has you covered. So call today, 502-542-8343. That's 502-542-8343. Tollgate Hay Company.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good Sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies, or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click Order Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made Click Order Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, order, eat. Jimmy John's freaky fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, inviting you to join me for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Tune in for live racing action from around the country every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. It's the place to be on your drive home, through the final furlong of your workday, and for all fans of the sport of kings. It's Express Bet Radio on HRRN, on Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Lou Bash, yet to be let loose. He's four lengths off the lead, and he's beginning to move now as they come to the top of the stretch. Here comes Carafa now, and Lou Bash is right behind him. Carafa takes the lead. Lou Bash has found a spot to the outside. Here he comes. And it is going to be Carafa and Lou Bash. These two will come down to the line together. Lou Bash with dead aim on Carafa. Lou Bash, Carafa, Lou Bash on the outside. Carafa to the inside. Lou Bash, get it in the Mohawk. Over Carafa, iron power, and with exultation.
Larry Colmus on the call of the Mohawk. Mohawk from Empire Showcase Day. Lou Bash and Carafa put on another show. Lou Bash got the money this time and set a course record in the process. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the vacationing Mike Penna, joined by the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. We've had a pretty fun show this morning. It'll be up soon in podcast form at horseracingradio.net. If you've missed anything this week, it's up already. We had Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on Tuesday. Trainer Talk, that was a good one, presented by Fezzik Tipton. My man Jude Feld sat down with David Hoffman's. That's a really good edition of Trainer Talk. That was Wednesday night. The Brisna.com call-in show with Jude and James Scully was Thursday night. Last night, the Uber Caparella Star and I sat down in our usual perch for the ExpressBet weekend stakes preview. We went over 11 stakes in all. And again, that's all up in podcast form at horseracingradio.net. Looking ahead to this week, Wednesday we have ExpressBet Radio on HRRN from 3 to 6, and then stick around from 6 to 7:30. We will have exclusive coverage of one or two of the other Land of Enchantment stakes. We'll have the Land of Enchantment card on ExpressBet Radio, and then the Penn Winter Stakes that night, 6 to 7:30 on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Talked to you earlier about American Pharoah Thursday. No live programming, but from 3 to 7, you could hear an hour of the Derby, an hour of the Preakness, an hour of the Belmont, and an hour of the Breeders' Cup Classic. All American Pharoah all afternoon, Thursday, Horse Racing Radio Network, regularly scheduled programming Friday, and then Saturday it'll be the Little A and the Big A. Acacia Courtney and myself will be right here at Aqueduct for that Holiday Fest card anchored by the Grade 1 $500,000 Cigar Mile, which we'll know that field take a little better shape, according to Andrew Burns, this morning after a couple of works by Tonalist and defending champion Private Zone. Plenty of stakes today, though, Jude, to talk about. Let's start here at Aqueduct. We heard the Lou Bash rejoin. He's one of many in with a shot in the first running of the Artie Schiller. It'll go a flat mile on the turf. Keep in mind, folks, we were off the turf here yesterday in New York with all the rain we had on Thursday evening. Off the turf, so there'll definitely be some give in the ground. I have not been able to find a track condition as of yet. The main track looks great. Main track's fast. Do not have a turf condition yet, Jude.
Yeah, well, it's always best to take a look at the horses that appreciate a little give in the ground, and I think Lou Bash is one of those horses. He's had good success on good turf courses at Gulfstream Park West and at Belmont Park and at Saratoga, so it doesn't need to be hard, like a California turf course for him to run well. He's just been on a roll. He's won 4 out of his last 5 starts. Such a quality horse. He's 8 years old. He just keeps firing every time. A New York bred by Freud, and made $1,356,000 in his career. Just a really, really cool horse. And he looks very, very difficult to beat in this race. You've got Shug McGahee with Reload for the Phipps. Drawn outside, Johnny V rides. This horse comes off a nice allowance win at Belmont Park. He ran well that day. He's another horse that's had a pretty productive year. He's won 4 races this year. He's won 2 races this year and 4 starts. But his last race was excellent. He has to overcome the outside draw, but it may not be too bad for him because he's got great tactical speed. A horse that interests me quite a bit is the 3 Slip By. This one's a son of Curlin out of Fortunate Prospect Mare. He won his last start in an allowance race at Laurel, going 1 1/8 on the yielding. So that would give him a license to appreciate a little give in the ground. And Silvestre D'Souza rides, one of the best riders in the world, takes the call here. I don't know what he's doing in town. Maybe you know, Anthony.
Oh, he's here now. He's here full-time.
Is he riding full-time? Wow.
Yeah, he's riding full-time. He's having a real rough go of it. He's just 1-for-37 stateside this year, 0-for-22 at the meet. But he's being represented by former trainer Seth Benzel. They're giving it a go here. I don't know what the plans are for the winter, if they're going to go down to Florida or if they are, in fact, going to stay here. But he's stateside full-time for now.
Gotcha. Well, he's a great rider, and Slip By likes the given the ground. So an interesting horse. Probably be a pretty decent price.
Yeah, I was with you. I like Lubash, but Reload interests me because when Reload shows up, he is very, very good. You just don't know what Reload's going to show up. And that's been a problem with this colt. Well, horse now, he's 6. He's still a full horse. When Shug McGahee, he had this horse pointed to the Travers 3 years ago. He was very frustrated. I remember Shug coming out of the paddock and after the race coming from the unsaddling area, beat red, as red as the cherry red in the Phipp Silks, just because he could not figure out what the deal with Reload is. And then he finally, in the winter of 2014, put him on the turf, and bingo, he turned into a different kind of horse. So, if the good Reload shows up, this one might be over. If the bad Reload shows up, you're going to beat another bad favorite. So it's an interesting race. I'm with you. A lot of speed in here, no, Jude?
Yeah, there is a lot of speed. And that's one of the nice things about Reload is he can blast off or he can sit right off the pace. He's a pretty versatile horse. And you can't say he's a bum. I mean, he's won 7 out of 21, and he's been in the money 13 out of 21. So he runs hard all the time. He's a grade 3 winner of the Canadian Turf. There's lots of things to like about him. He's got to carry 124, which is the same weight that Lubash carries. They're the 2 high weights, and so that could be a factor. That's the other thing I liked about Slip By. He gets in with 120. So anyway, we'll see what happens. But that's a very good race for a non-graded stakes race on a Saturday at Aqueduct.
Yeah, it's not bad for the first running of a race. And Artie Schiller was such a neat horse. I'm glad they found a race to name after him here on the Naira Circuit. We'll stay on the turf, head down to Gulfstream Park West. Tropical Park handicaps a grade 3, 1/16. Lubash won this race last year on a good course. Carafa is going to represent the New York Reds this year, coming off that head defeat in the track record-setting Mohawk last time out.
Yeah, we heard that on the rejoin clip, and Carafa is a very, very talented horse and certainly would give a good account of himself. Now, this race figures to be on a yielding turf, too, as there's rain forecast in Florida. What a shock. This horse Carafa, he won on a soft at Keeneland by 3 3/4 lengths, so that shows he likes it. He's also won on a good turf course at Belmont Park when he won the Mohawk, and he was 2nd on a yielding in the Forbidden Apple at Belmont, so he can handle the give in the ground. Other contenders would be All Included. Wertheimer horse for Todd Pletcher, who, you know, fires every time. I mean, he hardly ever runs a bad race, and at least not since May of 2014. So he's a very consistent horse, and Javier Cassiano gets aboard him. And interestingly enough, Javier's 3-for-3 on this horse. So if there was ever a jockey and horse combination that fits pretty well, it's all included in Javier Cassiano. But let's not forget about our old boy, Lochte. Lochte is just a fantastic horse. He runs so well often, and he's on a roll lately. He's won his last two. He won the Mr. Steele Stakes at Gulfstream Park. He won the Spider John Stakes at Gulfstream Park West, prepping for this race. He's a son of Medaglia d'Oro. He just is a stone runner, and he seems to be in super form right now for a very good trainer in Marcus Vitale, one of my favorite trainers, a great guy to bet on. His horses run like trained pigs, and I just think Lochte's going to be very, very tough today. He's another horse that it mainly runs on the firm, so we have a little bit of a question mark there, but he's just really good and on a roll right now.
You know what the best part about betting on Vitale is? They never seem to take any money.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, he's a guy who he wins at least a 20% clip. Let's see what he is right now. Yeah, he's 10-for-51.
Just about 20% of the meet, 19% on the year, 69-for-362. And these horses never take any money.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, well, last time this horse was odds on, but there's a lot of times you catch them 5, 6, 7 to 1. You know, I caught one up at Saratoga a couple of years ago. He's like 6 to 1. He came out of an unbelievable race, and it was like the people at Saratoga had never heard of him, and I was delighted. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that's worth paying attention to because he does an excellent job.
Yeah, all included, you know. Do you see Messi and Ironicus and King Creaser, who was streaking at the time? And when they're not around, he wins. And they're not around. So I really like All Included a lot today. And then finally, we'll take a quick trip up north, our neighbors to the north. Two-year-old fillies are going to go 7/8 on the poly track in the Glorious Song. Interesting race. Mark Cassie has a couple. He's been on fire as of late across North America.
Yeah, I was actually hoping that you could tout me on this one because I only crossed out one horse, so that's probably the horse that's going to win, Come to Mischief. But, this race is about as salty of a race as you could find. Two-year-old fillies going 7/8 of a mile, and, you know, there's horses in here that have won by big margins. Conquest Baba Yaga, you know, looks pretty tough. Ran a super race first time out. Calling Rai Rai on the rail. Those two were both impressive winners. Amy's Mesa, another one, won by 8 and had a Brisnet late pace number of 101. I mean, you know, that's pretty good. Tis Imaginary, 2-for-2 lifetime. Her numbers aren't as good, but as we talked about a little bit, numbers don't necessarily mean anything. Horses can run better numbers when they're forced to, and you know, she looks like she's a pretty nice filly. Jennifer Lynette won by 5.25 lengths first time out at Woodbine by Elusive Quality out of a Johannesburg mare. I mean, these horses are good. Pulled the Goalie, owned by our friend Donato Lani. This one ran good the first two times. Last time out, ran on the turf going a mile. Maybe didn't like the distance. Dropping back from turf to dirt, going 7/8. That's a good play for a lot of people. Takes blinkers off. She may not have liked the blinkers in that race either. She could rebound at a big number today. Very tough race. Who did you like, Anthony?
Yeah, she won. Pulled the Goalie, won on her debut on the poly, and then tried the turf twice and ran into Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies turf winner Catch a Glimpse both times. So you can just, forgive that. I like Jennifer Lynette. I like the addition of Lasix. Like I said, Cassie's on fire, and she's got a lot of speed. And I think she might very well be the speed of the speed in here because she didn't break that well last time from the rail. Now she's drawn a little better, gets the Lasix. She's worked well since her win. So I went with Jennifer Lynette, but I think you got to take a look at calling Rai Rai from the rail. That was a big win from post 11 for Roger Atfield. He knows a thing or two about training a racehorse. And I think you got to use Pull the Goalie now that you bring it up. I really overlooked Pull the Goalie on the Express Bet Weekend Stakes preview, but she's one I would use as well because her one Polytrack race was real good. And if I'm right, and there's some speed in here, like I said, Jennifer Lynette's the speed of the speed, but she can come running late with Alan Garcia, who's really had a phenomenal meet up at Woodbine for the first time this year.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a good race. I'm looking forward to that one, see how it all pans out. I kind of lean toward Amy's Mesa, but I'm a Josie Carroll fan from way back.
Fun couple hours in the books, Jude. They went very, very quickly.
Yeah, no kidding. Flew by.
Thanks to all of our guests this morning, Al Stahl, Andrew Burns, Eric Johnson, and Tom Harris. And thanks to you, HRR Nation, for tuning in. Don't forget, hitpopejude.com for all of Jude's selections today. Go take a listen to the ExpressBet Weekend Stakes Preview podcast for mine and LS Stars. On behalf of Jude Feld, our producer to the stars here at HRN, Lee Delapina, and everybody here at the Horse Racing Radio Network, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Hope you have a very lucky and enjoyable weekend. I hope you win all your photo finishes.
Good night, Barbados.